I'm Megan Kamrick with news about women from the Women's Media Center, Women's E-News, and other sources around the world. This week in women's history, on January 9, 1859, Carrie Chapman Catt is born. She campaigned for the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which gave U.S. women the right to vote in 1920. Catt was the founder of the League of Women Voters and the International Alliance of Women. This week, the King of Saudi Arabia granted women seats on the country's top advisory council for the first time. It was a much-awaited step for women to get a toehold in Saudi Arabia's largely female-free political system, according to Fox News. The nation's official news agency said that King Abdullah issued two royal decrees granting women 30 seats on the Shura Council, which has 150 members plus a president. Since 2006, women have been appointed as advisors only. The decree comes in response to advocates' demands to give a voice to women. Also this week in Saudi Arabia, Amnesty International said a group of women protesters detained by authorities must be released unless they are charged with an internationally recognizable crime. At least 11 women are still believed to be in detention after peacefully protesting the continued detention of relatives, according to Amnesty. Authorities in Indonesia's Aceh province are pressing ahead with a proposed Islamic law that would ban female passengers from straddling motorbikes. That's despite reported opposition from the central government, according to CBS News. Aceh introduced a version of Sharia or Islamic law in 2009 after it gained autonomy from the government in 2005. Three men accused of raping and murdering an Indian student will plead not guilty. Their lawyer is citing lapses in police investigation procedures. The case has provoked widespread anger and protests, reported Reuters. The 23-year-old physiotherapy student died 2 weeks after being beaten and gang-raped on a moving bus in New Delhi, then thrown bleeding into the street. Protests followed, along with a fierce public debate over the failure of authorities to stem violence against women. Inspired by the demonstrations in India, activists have staged rallies and marches in Nepal, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, all countries where they say women suffer high levels of sexual and domestic violence, reported The Guardian. A new project will bring mobile financial services to female entrepreneurs in several African countries. The U.S. Agency for International Development, in partnership with the Sherry Blair Foundation for Women and network operator Millicom International Cellular, have launched the project in Tanzania, Rwanda, and Ghana. Over a period of 18 months, the Global Development Alliance will provide more than 4,000 women with business skills training and opportunities to increase their income through mobile retail channels, USAID said. Facebook apologized for its previous stance on imagery that promoted violence toward women, Wired reported. A photo of a woman in Iceland had been altered by a user on an anti-woman Facebook page to make it look like she had been beaten. It included a caption that read, "Women are like grass. They need to be beaten, cut, regularly." Facebook said the image did not violate its statement of rights and responsibilities, but reversed course this week. Wired called the move a positive step. It noted that the social media site has taken flack in the past for the application of its statements of rights and responsibilities. That's particularly in regard to the content that promotes the rape of and violence against women. Facebook has considered that acceptable if it can be deemed humor. The New York City Medical Examiner's Office is undertaking an unusual review of more than 800 rape cases. Critical DNA evidence may have been mishandled or overlooked by a lab technician, reported the New York Times. Supervisors have so far found 26 cases in which the technician failed to detect biological evidence. In several cases, full DNA profiles were developed. In some instances, this was evidence that sex crime investigators did not see for years, hampering their ability to develop cases against rape suspects. Women were a decisive force in the 2012 election, yet so far President Barack Obama's cabinet is shaping up to be largely male. Among the 23 cabinet and cabinet-level positions, 8 were held by women at the end of Obama's first term, reported Business Week. But one of them, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, is being replaced by Massachusetts Senator John Kerry. Labor Secretary Hilda Solis and EPA Administrator Lisa P. Jackson have also announced their resignations. Meanwhile, Obama selected White House Chief of Staff Jack Lew to be the next Treasury Secretary. He also named former Senator Chuck Hagel as Defense Secretary, both set to replace men. And the Women's Media Center has launched an online petition drive to have a woman nominated as chair of the Federal Communications Commission, which would be a first if successful. The FCC oversees America's telecommunications and media policy. A new study shows that more women on corporate boards is indeed important for performance. That's because they make the boards willing to take action, according to Forbes. The author of the study found that boards that had at least three directors of each gender in attendance, and in particular three women, had a significantly larger return on equity and net profit margin. That mirrors another study by Credit Suisse that found companies with gender-diverse boards outperformed male-only ones by 26%. And in New Mexico news, Latinas in New Mexico face a wage gap of 68 cents on the dollar compared to male workers. That's according to analysis of U.S. Census Bureau data by the National Partnership for Women and Families. In the 20 states with the largest number of Latinas who work full-time year-round, the wage gap ranges from 51 to 68 cents for every dollar paid to men. And women's rights activists in Albuquerque gathered recently at Republican Party headquarters and called on U.S. Representative Steve Pierce to revive the Violence Against Women Act, reported KOAT. The Senate voted to renew the act for a third time last April. It barred agencies that receive funding under the law from discriminating against gays and lesbians, allowing immigrants who face domestic violence to seek legal status, and giving tribal authorities new power to prosecute cases on Indian reservations, reported CNN. The Republican-led House passed its own bill, one that didn't include those provisions, and that advocates said rolled back some protections in existing law. The White House threatened to veto it, and no resolution was reached before the session ended recently. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick.